I come from the old school, Arts and Flowers University. Burning that midnight oil, working on a new age degree. They say I've got a lot to learn, reluctantly I agree. They say if I'd expand my mind, an ocean would open for me. But I don't know how to swim, I can't even float. I don't want to sail that ocean without you as my boat. I know it's old-fashioned, but without you I would drown in a sea of freedom. I put on my old shoes and I walk down a new street. And I can feel the concrete burning the bottoms of my feet. I could walk that ocean parkway down to the sea. And I could let that ocean water run all over me. But I don't know how to swim, I can't even float. I don't want to sail that ocean without you as my boat. I know it's old-fashioned, but without you I would drown in a sea of freedom. I know it's old-fashioned, but without you, I would drown in a sea of freedom.
This is Jim.
Hey, Jim, it's Ron.
Oh, good morning, Ron.
We lost a good friend and a great member of the Chicago singer-songwriter community this week, James McCandless, and I didn't want to do a show without getting a chance to talk to you because you and James go back a long time, and I just thought it would be nice to hear your thoughts about your relationship with Jim.
Well, he was a fine musician, a fine songwriter, and singer, and guitarist, and performer. Someone I admired very much, both as a person and as a musician.
I know he worked for many years at your store, Hawkeye Music, in Evanston. But do you guys go back before that time, just being on the scene together in Chicago?
You know, I think I was aware of Jim without really getting to know him. We got to know each other when we were both teaching at the Old Town School of Folk Music. And that was during the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-80s, I think, we got acquainted really well there.
How did he wind up coming to teach it at Hawkeye?
Well, you know, those roads take their twists and turns, and we were the beneficiary of that particular twist in the road for Jim. I'm not mm-hmm. sure exactly how his separation at the Old Town School of Folk Music occurred, but we're very grateful to have had him come to Hawkeye as an instructor. He was just a wonderful instructor, made lots of friends, and planted a lot of wonderful seeds as a great guitar teacher.
Yeah, Yeah, and I know he, over the years, he had his health issues, and really goes back to his father. His father, and I think people in his family for 100 years, unfortunately, had a kidney disease that also afflicted Jim, but he overcame that and a number of other issues, even bypass surgery, and he was still playing from time to time. And I know he had to stop teaching at your store because of his health, but I guess we all have to be grateful for the time he did give us.
Well, he was an amazing, an amazing spirit. He did go through an awful lot with some health problems, and he'd get depressed at times, but he never lost his sense of humor. If he ever lost it, he always refound it, I should say, and was a great example of an ongoing spirit under adversity. Really.
I was strolling through the Sistine Chapel on my way to work one day, when I glanced up at the ceiling to a guy on a scaffold highway. I said, "Hey buddy, what are you doing? How come you paint that ceiling so?" He said, "Oh, I'm just goofing around. You know how it goes." And then he winked as he said it, and I stashed that wink away deep in a secret chamber to use on a rainy day. Now it's a star in my heart of darkness, from 1,000 feet below, and that wink has magic powers from a long time ago. The sleight of hand, Michelangelo. Thank you, man, for the sleight of hand, Michelangelo.
James McCandless and Michelangelo, and I'm Ron Lewis. It's the Folk Show for Sunday, April 21st, 2013, and did a little tribute there for James because he passed away, I think, on Wednesday 68 years old, guys? Something like that, 68 or 69. I'm joined by Al Day and Victor Sanders. Say hello so we can make sure we got your mic levels okay, guys.
Hi. Thanks for inviting us on.
Oh, you're welcome. So you guys go pretty far back with James, so I thought it would be nice to share some memories and play some of his music. And James came here to visit with us back about a year and 3 months ago, so we'll play a little bit of that if we have a chance, and we'll post it on our website as well. So whoever wants to speak first between the two of you.
Well, it's an odd thing because even though Jim had been plagued with health problems for a long time, it just came as, for me anyway, and for a lot of people I talked to, it just came as such an amazing shock.
We all knew he was
out by it.
We all knew he was really fragile, and mm-hmm. we knew, you know, I don't think I knew everything about his health problems, but I was pretty aware, and we still thought he would outlive us all. You know, he's a remarkably tough guy, you know. So,
just a joke and saying, Jim, he's too mean to die.
Yeah.
And for those in our audience who don't know who we're talking to or don't know of them, Al Day, of course, a visitor many times to the show, singer-songwriter, born and bred right here in the Chicago area. And then Victor Sanders, who's been here many times as well, producer extraordinaire. And you produced the last few of James' albums,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I recorded all of Jim's stuff all the way back from Fault Line, which was somewhere around 86. So there's 9 CDs, quite a body of work he left behind, which is really a wonderful thing. And all the way up to Lucky Day, 2012, 2013.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll hear that cut a little bit later on. And James was born with a name that it's lucky he decided to change it because he would have been known as James Taylor.
Sure.
I think he would have had a little competition, wouldn't he have?
Well, when he was first playing around, he had this sort of this defiant attitude, said, yes, this is my name. And then he gave up on
Jim,
it.
Jim Taylor, I think, is how he used to
call
himself.
Yeah, and he was actually, when we talked to him back in 2012, when he got out of Taft High School, he was going to be an electrician like his father, electrical engineer, and he quickly decided that his calling was music, and we're all glad that he went that way. And do you guys go back to, well, Al, you've been on the folk scene playing since the 80s for sure, right? So
actually, the 70s.
The dinosaur age.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember how you guys all met up with each other?
I just met him on the scene. Mm-hmm. He was just, you know, and, you know, he's so much of an original that when I first heard him, you just had to adjust to who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and with great writers like that, they always have a few tunes that are popping up to the surface. So there was an old tune of his called My Buddy Got a Brand New Hat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this great, great tune in which he used the, you know, just, he created, in this tiny song, he creates an entire mythology about a new hat leading him to do astounding things, you know. You know, and like one of the rhymes was, my buddy had a brand new hat, he had two kids, this and that. You know, and he was he was very much one of those writers you listen to and you don't care about anything you've been doing or anything else you've heard. He's the only thing you want at that moment. He was wonderful.
And of course he had a couple different CDs about the Old West, and he certainly wasn't from the West.
No, he was fascinated with that age and those characters. I think what really grabbed him even more than the age were the rogue outlaw of that time. I think that really captured his imagination, and it's interesting to to think about. I've thought a lot about this. He's one of the few artists who comes in to the studio with such a complete vision, all the songs and a lot of conceptual things going on. He knew from the very beginning what the song order was. He knew how the songs interacted and how the thread wove through each song. So even though there are a couple of CDs here that are kind of obviously conceptual, like Out West Somewhere, they really all have an internal concept that he, maybe sometimes he was only aware of, but certainly a well-rooted conceptual base of those things.
I should let people know what we played to start off the show. The last tune we played was Michelangelo, which was from Jim's Sea of Freedom recording, and Andrew Calhoun in particular, who knew him well too, and Jim's stuff is distributed by Waterbug, and Andrew mentioned that Jim had told him that he wrote that song about the fiddler Martin Hayes. Either you guys know Martin at all?
Martin is an incredible Irish fiddle player, yeah. And Al and I know him and his musical partner Dennis Cahill.
Mm-hmm.
And we just did a show with Dennis yesterday.
Right. And then we did hear a recording I made yesterday with Jim Craig, and James worked for many years with Jim, both at the old, taught together with him at the Old Town School, and then later on at Jim's Hawkeye Music right here on Central Street in Evanston. Then before that, a couple other so we heard Sea of Freedom then from the title track to that recording. And before that, we heard from a couple other artists, Jody Ellis, who goes back to the scene here when James was first playing, and her tune Sea Affair, not commercially available, but Jody made a recording available to us. And then we started out with the Wailing Jennies and Across the Sea from their recording, Bright Morning Stars. So, Victor, as you mentioned that James had everything thought out ahead of time, so did you still get to have input as you produced his recordings?
Absolutely.
Or did you just kind of sit there and push the button?
No. It was always so collaborative, and Jim always wanted to give me a lot of space to do things the way I heard them, but he had certain things that were he wouldn't budge, and that was great. So it was truly collaborative, and I think even more so on the last two CDs, on One and on Lucky Day, I felt so much a part of those CDs, and.
Well, you know what? Why don't we hear Lucky Day? Because I don't think we've ever, that's his most recent recording, and I don't think we've ever played it here on the show. So why don't we give that one a listen right now, and then we'll talk a little bit more about James McCandless.
Bring me the sunrise in a teacup. And a bucket full of rain. Peyote in a wikia. This could be my lucky day. Phantoms on a vision quest. Mountains of wet clay. Danger in the wilderness. Runaway, castaway. Father in a suit and vest. Noble and tall. Mother in her wedding dress. Slow motion. And walking down the hall. Father, won't you wait for me? Mother, I'm reborn. running recklessly, crash into the hallway door. Adobe Hut, apparitions side by side. Thunderbird, a doodlebug, laughing and crying. God sings in the hearts of men on the sitar. On the violin, yes, and on the slide guitar. Candles on an old felt hat. Happy birthday to myself. A flashlight, a frightened cat. Poets on a dusty shelf, waiting for Godot. Truth in every word. Pulse pounding like a tremolo. Goat boy is alone. Sundown, moonrise, exhaustion in a chair. Starry, starry night, frostbite in my head. Now I'm a younger man. Comprehension within grasp. Everything is everything. The future, the present, and the past. Sunrise in a teacup. A bucket full of rain. Everything is everything. This could be my lucky day.
I can see through a shroud of mystery. I don't know no season, no time of day. I'm not blind, my eyes are free. I don't see what others see. No tomorrow, no yesterday. Some see a mansion with pillars and gates. I see a wagon at the bottom of the lake. Some see a beggar eating a piece of toast. Some see things the way they ought to be. A rose is a rose, as a tree is a tree. I see the shadow of the Holy Ghost. I see no
jazz guitar. I see stars in the sugar jar. I've seen London, I've seen France. I spied through the keyholes in the hotel doors. I saw Lionel Barrymore and Isadora doing a taxi dance. I've got a patch and a parrot named Polly Jean Long. John Silver got nothing on me. I got a nodding acquaintance with the deep blue sea. I saw the buffalo wink on the Indian head. I found secrets hidden in the alphabet. I see the sea, and the sea sees me. Look out now. Tinsel on a Christmas tree, but I can count the molecules in the street. I don't wind my watch, cause I can't tell time. Well, I may be right and I might be wrong, but I can see the holes in the road I'm on. Just point me to the sunset, I'll be fine. I see life on distant stars. I see little green men from Mars eating candy bar, wearing tuxedos. Well, they may be blurry, but my eyes are free to see a lot of things they shouldn't see. Phantoms, UFOs. Things are blurry, but I can see through a shroud of mystery. I'm not blind, my eyes are free. Some see things the way they ought to be. A rose is a rose, is a tree is a tree. I don't see what others see. I just don't see what others see.
James McCandless and My Eyes Are Free, and that was from his recording One. And before that, Lucky Day, the title track to his last recording, which was recorded probably, what, last summer, Victor, or in 2012, I guess.
Yeah, Lucky Day was 2012. Yeah. The last 3 years were so productive for him in spite of, you know, his health thing. He just, Calamity Jane was 2009 and 10, and mm-hmm. One was 2011, and Lucky Day, 2012.
Right, and I know he had quadruple bypass surgery in the fall of 2011, so that was after that, and you certainly didn't hear any cracks in the voice or anything. He just sounded as good as ever.
Yeah, his voice just actually got better. It dropped in register.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. There's that low, you know, he hits these wonderful low notes that, you know, he just kept getting, better, you know. And his writing was, you know, it's just, yeah, I'd toss one of his tunes in front of Dylan and, you know, and Dylan would probably smile.
Oh, that's a nice thing to say.
You know, see what he could rip off.
And, Victor, you were saying while the song was playing about some of the other artists that accompanied James on these recent recordings.
Right.
Some of the other musicians.
On Lucky Day, it's Bob Long, Al and I, and Bob go way back. An incredible keyboard player who's living in California now. We'll be back soon. And Meg Thomas on percussion, I use her a lot in the studio, and she I play quite a few projects with her. Really wonderful percussionist, and I'm playing bass on that track. And
Jim also had a real close connection to the whole Irish community.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he used John Williams,
right,
and Dennis and Martin. Is Martin on any of his recordings?
Martin's on some earlier recordings. Jimmy Moore.
Yeah, Dennis Cahill and Martin Hayes. I'm supposed to actually be. And Jimmy
Moore is on quite a thing. Actually, he's on this last CD playing Bouzouki.
Oh.
Nice.
And I wanted to say something about this. Also, another thing about this body of work is that inside the concept and the words of all and the thoughts of all these CDs, a big part of that is his wife Dee.
Yeah,
and really wanted to say, you know, that we love you, Dee, and we're here with you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, she came out here with James when he was here back in January of 2012, and they were married over 40 years, I think.
Yeah.
Never had any children, right? So just the two of them.
No, and you didn't know Jim. You knew Jim and Dee. Mm-hmm. You know, and they were best friends, and they, you know, and
the cover of that. Can't see it out there in Radio Land, but the cover of Lucky Day just really says it all. I think.
Right, right. That's. Picture of the two of them.
That's a funny story. That's their wedding day. And what did they do on their wedding day? They came in the studio to record the first album.
Huh.
They got married. They came to the studio.
Wow. Wow. That's a great story. And, Al, you were mentioning, because of Jim's health problems, how... You relate it as a funny story, but, you know, how fragile he was.
You'll have to excuse my time frame on this. I'm horrible with time frames on this, but this was a few years back, and Jim's bones were very brittle, so he tripped, he fell, he broke both of his legs, mm-hmm. and he was over at Lutheran General, and I drove out there and finally found his room. And he was not in a good mood. He was miserable, and he was depressed, and the only thing I could think to say is, you know, without swearing on the radio, as I told him, he looked like crap, you know, and he said, he looks at me from his bed, and he said, "It's a fine thing to say. I just broke both my legs. What are you?" And then we kept talking and everything, and he finally got cantankerous and started complaining about what was happening in politics and everything. And we stopped for a second and realized, "Oh, I'm back to myself," you know. But he just he always kind of reminded me that I walked in on him, and the first words out of my mouth was that he looked horrible.
Well, that's what friends are for.
You know, I'd like to say he was a fighter, but he was just more focused on being exactly who he was in the moment. And you hear it in the tunes. There's no hesitation at all in any single syllable he ever wrote or sang, you know. And
I agree with what you're saying, Alan. And another way to put it, and the way I always put it, is he was truly an artist. He lived his life like an artist. He did his art like an artist, and he was always very confident in what he was doing. I think he didn't have any misgivings about his music. I think he wasn't always sure that it was being accepted by the public as he would have liked, but I think he was always sure of what he was doing, and that was a wonderful thing to watch, really.
Yeah,
and the best way to honor his memory is for his friends and acquaintances to keep his music alive by learning to play some of the tunes that he played so well, and
definitely
keep him in our thoughts.
On that note, there's going to be something sometime at Fitzgerald's. He had a wonderful community of musicians there, Naomi Ashley, Scott Nomenthe, those guys.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We're planning something, hopefully late May or early June.
Okay, good. Well, that's good.
We'll let you know.
And before we close out this segment, we haven't mentioned yet Julianne Macaras, and that's somebody that he played with for quite a long time. Tell us a little bit about her.
That was an incredible musical partnership. Julie played violin, viola, and sang. And kind of the middle period here of Sea of Freedom, Out West Somewhere, and Splash of Red, those CDs, really featured her as really pretty much an equal voice in some ways. Yeah. And there was a real partnership.
Yeah,
it's it was wonderful watching them together, and it was a perfect act, and that was a period where Jim wasn't, at least initially in that period, Jim wasn't as plagued by physical problems, so he was just it was a force to be reckoned with, you know, and so.
Well, and in fact, we'll close out the segment with. A tune from Out West Somewhere that does feature Julian McCarris along with Jim. And guys, I'd like to thank you so much on short notice for coming in on a Sunday morning and sharing some of your memories about James.
Thank you. I'd just like to mention a couple people who are really helping out put this thing together.
At sure.
Fitzgerald's is Ron Lazzaretti and Frank Tedesco and Chris Farrell and Al and myself. We're all going to try to put something really wonderful together to remember Jim by.
And I think Nathan Bell is going to come down for that.
Great.
And we'll certainly mention it here. I don't think either of the two of you have active websites, so what would probably be the best place to go for more information? Fitzgerald's website, would you guess? Or somebody will set up a site?
I think that Jim has a site,
and
maybe
true.
We could post it up there.
Yeah,
would be a good... you have that site with you?
It's jamesmcanless.com. So, and McCanless is McCanless. And that has his discography and... even has an interview he did with us here, which we'll also put on our website, and pictures, reviews. So, certainly you'll still be able to buy his music, too. So that doesn't go away. That lives forever. So
yeah.
So the tune that Al's dear wife, Ann, who's here with us as well, off mic, wanted to hear was It May Go On Without Me, is a fitting... fitting closing to our...
A good idea what he was like.
All right, so we'll go with that, and then on to more music. It's The Folk Show with Ron Lewis, Al Day, and Victor Sanders on WNUR-FM, Evanston, Chicago.
Stars could fall, hell could freeze, it makes no difference to me. I do whatever a damn will please, whatever the case may be. As a matter of fact, I'm a horse's ass, you very well may say, but it's in the fine print of me contract that I can be this way. Because the world will miss me when I'm gone. The moon and all the stars revolve about me. The world will miss me when I'm gone. It may go on without me, but I doubt it. I have a fancy automobile, the book says it's the best. And when I sit behind the wheel, the ladies are impressed. I drive around the parking lot with the windows all ajar. The breeze are blowing me curly locks just like a movie star. Because the world will miss me when I'm gone. The moon and all the stars revolve about me. The world will miss me when I'm gone. It may go on without me, but I doubt. I have a fancy attitude to go with my good looks. You see, I'm one of those fancy dudes you read about in books. Historians will note me before they note the queen. You may just want to quote before Chicago Magazine. Because the world will miss me when I'm gone. The moon and all the stars revolve about me. The world will miss me when I'm gone. It may go on without me, but I doubt it. Because the world will miss me when I'm gone. The moon and all the stars revolve about me. The world will miss me when I'm gone. It may go on without me, but I doubt it. I'd like to thank the Academy for making me a star. I'd like to thank the little people, you know who you are. My teeth are white, my eyes are clear, I make the birdies sing. And if you come crawling over here, I'll let you kiss my ring. Because the world will miss me when I'm gone. The moon and all the stars revolve about me. The world will miss me when I'm gone. It may go on without me, it may go on without me, it may go on without me, but I doubt it.
After a long time waiting, I'm pleased to welcome James McCandless to the Folk Show. Hey, James, thanks for coming.
Thank you. Love to be on the radio.
It's probably been a while since you've had the chance to do that.
Well, it's a lot of fun. You don't have to shave. You don't have to dress. You know.
Right, and I left my iPhone at home, so I can't even take any pictures. And
that's good. You know.
Jim's lovely wife, Dee, didn't bring her phone either to take pictures, yeah. So people just have to imagine. That's the way radio is meant to be experienced anyway.
The last time
We'll put that whole interview up on our website, which is wnurfolk.org, and you can listen to a half-hour interview with James, and he plays three or four songs, and I think you'll enjoy it. Okay, and thanks again to Al Day and Victor Sanders for coming by. We will now continue with some other music, and we had lots of rain the other day, so I guess we should hear some songs about, at least one song about a flood, and my wife Mary picked Annie Gallup's tune Flood, and then we'll follow that with one from Richard Schindel. I'm Ron Lewis. It's the Folk Show at WNUR-FM. Evanston, Chicago. We'll have our concert calendar segment as well before we're out of here at 11:30.
Well, we don't have to worry about any ice today.